CBSi on the World. I'm John Butts with Malcolm Homeline, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. Caracas, Managua, and Havana. There's a tour package recently attended by the President of the Islamic Republic of Iran, a man named Raisi, who is known from the 20th century as the Hanging Judge. Malcolm and I welcome Emanuele Ottolenghi. Dr. Ottolenghi is a senior fellow at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies and an expert at FDD's Center on Economic and Financial Power, focusing on Hezbollah in Latin America. Emanuele, what is it that Raisi meant to accomplish by this tour of these three capitals of rogue states, and was he successful? Good evening to you.
Good evening to everyone. Thank you for having me. I believe the trip was successful for Iran. Iran has been patiently building relationships in the Western Hemisphere for the past four decades. It became humbly, mainly through soft power outreach, but in recent times, the relationship that Iran has in Latin America have become more important. And more importantly, Iran, in all of these relationships today, is the more powerful partner. The trip that Raisi did was meant to cement that and to strengthen that dynamic, not just through the atmospherics and rhetoric and visuals and pageant of a trip, but also through the signing of a very significant list of important agreement in various fields, including very strategic ones, that will help Iran weave itself into the economies and infrastructure of these countries, deepening cooperation, but also increasing Iran's influence.
Of the three capitals, the one that is most mysterious to me is Managua, which has stepped outside of the bounds of acceptable governance, Ortega's. Does Hezbollah have a beachhead there that we've not been watching? Are they prosperous in Managua, Hezbollah?
Well, Central America has much smaller Lebanese Shia communities than South America. Places like Colombia, Venezuela, Brazil, and so on. So their ability to leverage those communities in Central America is more limited. And so traditionally, when that is the case, we see Iran taking front stage. Now, of course, as you mentioned, Nicaragua has stepped out of the community of respectable nations, but Ortega has a very long past of being a Soviet Russian satellite and proxy. And of course, once he returned to power in Nicaragua, he has proceeded to dismantle democracy and to reassert Nicaragua as an extension of the authoritarian axis in Latin America. So the fact that Iran is going there makes perfect sense. Russia already has a strong presence, China too, and Iran wants its share. Nicaragua aligns politically with Venezuela, Cuba, and Bolivia to some extent. And so it was a natural place. It's much closer to the United States. And it positions Iran once again in Central America to become a serious, significant nuisance to American interests.
Malcolm?
So there was a serious development in the Amia bombing, the Jewish Community Center bombing case from 1994, which we have addressed many times, and arrest warrants were issued for four of the suspects. What led to this? Why are we hearing this now 30 years later? And then I'll ask you a follow-up after your response.
As you know, after the assassination of the prosecutor and lead investigator, Alberto Nisman, the entire file was transferred, and it probably took some time to them to bring themselves up to speed. But they've been continuing to investigate, and through their investigation, which included extensive travel interviews and contacts with regional governments, intelligence agencies, law enforcement, and sources on the ground, they were able eventually to identify the four suspects that were mentioned, named in an arrest warrant last week by an Argentinian federal judge. Now, these are not the people who ordered the attack. We know their identities. They're mainly Iranian officials. These were people on the ground. One of them is the brother of Salman Rauf Al-Reda, who was the mastermind of the 1994 attack. His brother, Abdallah Salman, is suspected of not just of having been involved in the 92 attack against the Israeli embassy, but of having been part of the group that helped the logistics and infrastructure for the attack on the ground. A second suspect is a Hezbollah financier, the Treasury sanctioned already in 2006. So these are two known entities, but there are two new suspects that had not been mentioned before, both of them Lebanese with Paraguayan citizenship, one of them a prominent businessman in the community in Ciudad del Este, in the tri-border area. And of course, as it often happens in this part of the world, the fact that we have a result, new suspects and an arrest warrant, is only half a success, because apparently the early leaks of the news gave one of these suspects, key figure in the business community there, the time to actually escape before Paraguay could receive the paperwork to execute the arrest warrant. So one victory, one step forward with four new suspects, and two steps back because apparently these people are, again, in the wind.
So what do you think the chances are this time of getting an arrest when they can always hide out in the tri-border area and seem to find protection after these decades?
You know, despite the leaks that, of course, gave an advance warning to one of these individuals to run away, it looks like the system worked better this time. There's been legislative reform in this field in the last 4 or 5 years in Argentina and Paraguay. And so the institutions seem to have responded better. The suspect that made most news, Hussein Muzanar, businessman, who I was saying escaped, is just one of the four. There is very little chance for Al-Reda to be captured because he's long been in the wind. He already was publicly identified as a suspect for the 92 bombing. And so he's probably in Lebanon, long gone. Muzanar left thanks to the advance warning of the news leaks. But the other two, Ali Abdallah and Farouk Omairi, may still be in the area. Omairi was sanctioned by Treasury in 2006, but never really bothered by local authorities. And so there is still a chance that one, maybe two suspects could be detained.
Final question about the Raisi visit in Caracas. There were announcements about agreements, bilateral agreements. Anything substantive, anything fresh that will change the direction of Iran in the new world?
Very significant agreements in the energy sector, with advancing plans for Iran to build oil tankers for Venezuela, but also Iran to continue to invest and work on the upgrading and expansion of Venezuelan refineries, which gives Iran the ability to run its own extraterritorial refineries in the Caribbean, an agreement to establish a shipping lane between Iran and Venezuela, between Iran's state-owned shipping lines for container traffic, agreements in the cultural and scientific fields, academic exchanges. I mean, the list is very long. These are not just, window dressing signing ceremonies. They're substantive agreements. They're part of a plan to grow the economy to $20 billion exchange in the next 20 years. And there is clearly much more meat to this than in previous occasions. So yes, it is an important trip. It was successful for Iran, and it gives Iran a lot more influence and clout.
Emanuele,
Caracas as well.
Emanuele
Managua and Havana.
Emmanuel Atalengi from the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, Malcolm Hohnlein, Conference of Presidents. I'm John Babb.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.